Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, and in the next hour, we'll focus on mindfulness, bringing our awareness to the present moment without judgment. Developing and deepening our capacity for mindfulness throughout our daily life is essential for reducing fearful and negative thinking, for letting go of the stories we tell ourselves that keep us stuck in place, and for transforming our relationship to ourself, to others, to the world. Join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm still working with my readers, but soon I will have regular glasses, and I'm so excited to stop talking about my eyes. But between now and then, it's on and off. So we are here today, as we always are, to bring our attention and our awareness to the present moment. And I'm hoping that this is an opportunity in this hour for you to maybe relax a little bit, to give yourself a break, to talk with us about what's going on in the world around us in a kind of mindful practice way. That's the purpose of the show, right? To help people and support them on their mindfulness journey. Because when we have greater mindfulness in our own lives, we have greater inner peace. And it's when we are at greater peace in our own lives that we can bring a peaceful energy into the world. And that remains an important thing for all of us to do, I think, in today's world. So I am really fortunate today to be joined by my guest, who I think is really on the verge of becoming my co-host, where he's here so often. And I'm so grateful to him for all of his feedback and participation in this show, Craig Gingrich-Philbrick. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you. It's nice to be here again. I enjoy it very much.
I'm glad. We enjoy having you, all of us. And Craig is a professor in performance studies in the Communication Studies Department at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. He's also a performance artist, a scholar, and a person of, I think, uncommon wisdom and insight into the world around us. So I've thought that for a very long time. And I think I've never really met anybody who knows Craig who doesn't have that similar kind of perception about him, honestly. So, Craig, we're here to talk today about, well, we said we were going to debrief. A lot has changed in, say, oh, I don't know, the last 24 hours, the 2 weeks before that, right? Yeah. You're ready to talk about that? You think we should do that? Still a good plan?
Yeah, I think it's a nice continuity with some of our earlier conversations prior to the election, and then in that very strange zone between the election and the certification. I don't think we've talked since.
I think that's right. Yes, yeah. Yes. And what a whirlwind of stuff it's been. But first, we do a breathing exercise. So do you mind joining me on that?
No, never.
Do you like this one? Where we,
sure.
Yes. Okay, so what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to bring our hands to our heart center on an inhale, interlace our fingers, and push out on an exhale, raise our hands above our head on an inhale, and then release them on an exhale. So if you'll join me. So inhale. Let's do it 3 times. And final. Thanks for doing that with me. We bring attention to our breathing because it helps us to focus, to feel calm, and to relax. So, Craig, where are you at today? What's really at top of mind for you right now about the election, the aftermath of the election, and now the inauguration of our new president and vice president?
And vice president. I think that there are a variety of things that are going through my mind. Certainly some of it is relief. And, you know, I think people who feel relief know what that's about. And, mm-hmm. I don't, it doesn't, I don't have to persuade them, you know, about what that is. And I think, you know, really, so many of my friends report this feeling of, you know, not fearing that when they wake up in the morning, there's going to be a tweet that takes their civil liberties away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, as some of your guests have pointed out in the series that you've been doing, that risk is by no means equitably divided, you know, amongst us, you know. Right. And so certainly some people are feeling a very big sense of relief, and also at the same time trying to monitor the degree to which I am engaging in sort of two impulses. One is a kind of, when are those people who stormed the Capitol and encouraged them going to be held accountable? Right, and kind of moving, you know, sort of toward that. And then also trying to be careful about not being too cynical about or too enthusiastic about this sort of call for unity and sort of dialing down the rhetoric, which is in some senses dependent upon the other for me, and I think for many people. But trying to also figure out what that means, right? So I can dial down the rhetoric in which I call for that accountability. I mean, I think that that's still dialing down the rhetoric, you know, to some degree. But I'm also still kind of struggling and finding my way with the double mind of that, I think.
Yeah, I think that's such a great description. It is complicated. It is not just one thing, is it? It is not just relief and hopefulness. I suppose if we've learned anything in the last 4 years, it's to, I hope, be critical thinkers when it comes to the information that we put in our minds, and not just assuming that the people we're listening to are always telling the truth or always have the whole story, maybe is a better way to put it. Not always bad motives, but to just to be cautious, critical thinking listeners all the time. That hasn't changed, has it?
No, and even when I listen to them tell their story, to know not just that it isn't the whole of their story, but that the sense that I'm making of them telling the story is also not the whole of them telling the story.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You know, that I don't have a kind of omniscient access to their psyche, their, you know, their pain, you know, whatever. And I think the same about mine.
Right. When you talk about dialing down the rhetoric, because I like you, I think a really critical issue is accountability as we move towards unity. I realize we can't, you know, things are not simple where you can say, okay, we're going to do these 10 things and then this other 10 things are going to happen, right? That all of these things are going to be happening simultaneously, because some of that accountability, of course, is interpersonal, right? It's in families where people have broken relationships because of the heightened responses and heightened polarization about political reactions. But, and some of it is in our, you know, it's part of the legal system now. People have been arrested. They have broken laws, it appears. They're going to be tried. And if they're guilty, held accountable in that respect. So when you say dial down the rhetoric, what does that mean in this context for you?
Well, it's an interesting question because I think it's a phrase that people use without a lot of indexing, right? I mean, we want to kind of go back to our general semantics training from back in the day and think about, well, when I use the phrase dial down the rhetoric, what I mean by that is, and that might be different than what you mean, you know, when you say that. And so saying what we mean by that and kind of pointing to some of the kind of key behaviors that would pass as dialing down the rhetoric for us.
Right.
You know, feels really important. And so for me, what it is not engaging in schismogenesis for its own sake. Gregory Bateson's term for that idea of a kind of unsuccessful, kind of clumsy behavior that only increases division.
Right.
That's its net effect, rather than having any sort of reparative effect or function in maintaining a relationship within a community or a family. Right. So, you know, when the gentleman who was recently arrested says to his kids, you know, if you turn me in, you know what happens to snitches, basically, and essentially threatens their life.
Wow.
I don't know if you're seeing that report, but that's certainly dialing up the rhetoric.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about it a little bit in, I'm on Twitter, but I don't tweet. I'm a lurker in lots of social media contexts. And I'm just aware of not wanting to be in a lot of spaces with a lot of totalizing kind of commentary about people with whom I disagree. I think accountability does not have to, I've said this before, of course, accountability does not have to include demonization. And I think we can be very strong in what we say about what people have done that we find illegal, treasonous, unpatriotic, et cetera, without completely demonizing them as individual human beings. They are still people with feelings. There may be feelings out of control. They're people with, you know, they're not monsters, because I think to say that is to act like they are the other in a way that makes them makes it impossible for any dialogue to happen. So for me, the dialing down the rhetoric is, I guess, is similar of a, you know, paying attention to what I'm reacting to and how I'm characterizing other people without ever losing track of, and I want you to be held accountable. I want you to, your actions to be in that public realm where we can really understand how close we were to an actual insurrection, a successful insurrection, as opposed to the failed one.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break, Craig. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about kind of where we are in these first reactions. And I also want to talk about yesterday. I want to talk about the inauguration, because I promised in the headline about the show today, we were going to talk about happy things. So, and I imagine you feel as I do that that was a very happy occasion.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, that's what we'll talk about when we come back, is the inauguration and our responses to that and where that's leaving us and where we're going from there. And you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back after the break.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to The Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Do you feel that you must stand alone in this life? Listen deeply, beloved soul. You are not alone. Laura Hosford offers you authentic channeled messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace to guide you forward in transcending your consciousness and becoming the change you wish to see in the world. Want to get involved? Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group and get some goddess energy in your life. Women supporting women, emotional and spiritual growth. What's not to love? Just search for Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook and join Laura's growing community of women who are finding that divine love has lived within them all along. Share your stories, your challenges, offer your insights, celebrate spiritual growth. Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group today.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you trying to lose weight but feel guilty for eating your favorite foods? Feeling deprived and resentful makes for results that aren't sustainable. Join Adrienne Craig every second and fourth Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for her show, Master Your Mindset for a Weight Loss Breakthrough. Learn to love the journey and watch yourself succeed. For more information about Adrienne or to work with her personally, visit LifeCanyon.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I'm joined today by Craig Gingrich Philbrook. And Craig and I have been working on mindfulness practices for the last quite while. And so we decided in our sort of our newest conversation, as we've talked about politics and the state of the world several times on this show, always with a sense of how does our mindfulness practice help us engage? And so we're here today debriefing the most recent political events in our country. So the failed insurrection after the election, after the denial of results, now and finally the certification and the inauguration yesterday. And in response to the inauguration, Craig, I chose my outfit today very carefully, as I felt everyone I saw yesterday in Washington had chosen his or her outfit very carefully. So I'm wearing my pearls, which I almost never wear, but you know, you gotta represent and show your solidarity. And my jacket, it's hard to tell, probably it's so dark, but it's purple. So I've got my purple and white suffrage colors on. So is this a particular shirt you decided to wear for a particular reason? Is there any symbolic?
No, if I thought about it, I would have tried to find a good puffy coat and some mittens so I could.
Oh, yes. Is that the best meme that's come out of the inauguration?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of that kind, right?
Of that kind.
Yeah.
For me, I would describe it as the gentle, joy, really, gentle joy of someone who wanted something he didn't get, but is there and is, and people love him and appreciate him, and he can take a joke, and he's part of all this that's happening as we move forward. So what? Tell me about you. What did you do yesterday? Did you watch the whole thing? What did you have favorite parts? What was it like for you?
Well, I did a couple things. You know, one of the things that I thought would be interesting for the show is that I had agreed to be part of a meeting, and I contacted my chair and said, you know, I think I was trying to be a good sport, and what I'm really feeling in my body is that I need to be with the inauguration. And I've been, you know, worried about, you know, people coming for my friends and my marriage, and I'm for 4 years, and I kind of want to live through this. And she was extraordinary. So I think one of the things that I did on inauguration day was get my needs met.
Oh.
Reflecting on what I needed and what my body was telling me, and mm-hmm. I would point to that, you know, being one of the things that I did that I really credit to the sort of observational context that this show encourages.
You know,
to the body.
Thank you. So noticing. That. Oh, that's so wonderful.
And I watched it from mm-hmm. sun up until I fell asleep in the evening, you know, in the middle of the Celebrate America.
Right.
I had to go watch some of the rest of it this morning. You know, I was rarely away for more than to get coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And and again and again, I found myself unclenching something that I hadn't realized was quite so dire,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my body. And just enjoyed all of those moments. The extraordinary, you know, young poet Amanda Gorman,
and
you know, just the seeing that part of the Capitol that we had seen in such disarray and in such danger and treated so with such disdain there, you know, in that moment. And, you know, all of the presidents except himself and, you know, Carter, who would have been there if he had been. You know, so it was something. And just, well, you know, I mean, Kamala and how you've been, just, it was one beautiful thing after another.
It really was. It really was. One of the things that I was very moved by was kind of a pairing. It was Lady Gaga's version of the Star Spangled Banner, which, I mean, I'm not a big popular music person. I'm very stuck in a different era in terms of music, but I know her music and a little. And what I, you know, I think people somewhat who don't know her music well underestimate just what an incredibly beautiful voice she has. But it was also a performance, just as Amanda Gorman's recitation of her poem was a fully embodied performance. Yes. And I loved both of them. And what really made me, it made me think about is patriotism and how we use that word and how we've allowed it to be sort of the purview of one side of the political poles rather than the other. Because what I saw from both of those women was a fierce patriotism. I saw an absolute grasping with both hands, love of country and patriotism and desire to see the best in our country. You know, in the there's always that, you know, there's that saying, my country, love it or leave it. And I think, no, it's not my country, love it or leave it. It's my country, love it and see it. See what it really is. See all that it is, good and bad. And I thought that's what Gorman's poem was. Mm-hmm. Just an incredible opportunity to see the good and the bad and for her to have such joy. And it made me very hopeful because she's a very young woman, too. And so I think I worry for young people that they feel that things are, you know, going to hell in a handbasket and there's just really no nothing to inspire them, nothing to lift them up. And they're doing it for themselves. She certainly, I mean, she credits a lot of people. She has a lot of gratitude to others for her success that she's had. But she is doing it, and it's just an inspiration. Both of them, I thought, were an inspiration.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, by any means mean to leave J-Lo out of this list either.
Oh, no.
Her kind of moving into Spanish for a moment and having this, you know.
That was great.
This the whole program so beautifully diverse. And one of the things about Lady Gaga, you know, I've been talking with friends who are like, why Lady Gaga? You know, she and Biden got together for some PSA work about sexual assault and
that's
and
right
created a kind of friendship and you know, coming out of that, you know, that led to some campaign work. So it's you know, there what was on the you know, there on display there was relationship. And when I think about how important that term is to communication studies in our shared background, and how that links with something like schismogenesis. If schismogenesis is the giving up of relationship, you know, then building those connections and, you know, those coalitions is the opposite of that, and so important in, you know, in so many ways. And Biden said white supremacy.
Yes. He's not afraid to say things.
In an inauguration speech. And, you know, I know that there were a lot of us who heard that word and felt a kind of, both the seismic quality of that and also the, okay then, let's actually do something about that.
Policy-wise, and
you know, so that it isn't just, you know, as some people say now, performative. Now, I don't like that use of the word performative as a dismissive in that particular context. But I understand what people are doing with it, you know, when they use it that way, and, you know, just for show. And I think with all of the executive actions and the various kinds of things that were happening, we're seeing, there's at least a good sense that it's not just for show, and that it becomes our obligation to make sure that it never turns into that.
Yes, it is. It's not just his obligation, but it is our obligation, all of us. That's right. Yeah, that's a really great point. It was really a beautiful day, and I thought I didn't see all of the program last night. I did appreciate living on the West Coast where things happen earlier, so it did end before my bedtime. The program last night, parts of it reminded me of the Democratic Convention because of the COVID era, the roll call of the states was done virtually. And that was just a fantastic display. It was so beautifully done, so smart, such a great use of technology, et cetera. And I thought last night's program had some of that quality too. I said to my partner, will they ever have inauguration balls again? Right? Where you just see people walking in and out. You never really, we're not as citizens part of that. For the most part, very few are. It's a very elite thing. Last night, I thought I can't imagine they'll ever do this the same way again, because this was so inclusive in that sense of really was accessible to all in so many different forms. You could watch it on your phone, you could watch it on TV, or you could listen to it on the radio. It was visual, it was music, it was, speeches. Just the variety and the positive quality of it too. And of course, I wouldn't have expected a lot of negativity about the previous administration, but this is a difficult time. There are enormous problems they have to solve. You wouldn't be surprised if some of this was about the past or about the difficulty of the current situation. So I also appreciated the hopefulness, the sense of moving forward, again, not to leave accountability behind, but to say, and in terms of whether it's COVID or racial reconciliation or the economy, there are ways in which we have to move forward, and we can do it. That's that spirit. I was thinking too that those are often things that anyone can say, and one difference that I know is very real is that, just as you said earlier, you're not going to wake up every day scanning the headlines looking for something that's happened that has undermined your rights or my rights or those of people you know and love or just other people whose rights should not be violated. But also, there will be disagreements, but I don't think we now have a president who will ever make escalate a disagreement, a conflict, a problem with a mean, petty tweet. Mm-hmm. And I think we can say, we can be dismissive of Twitter and what it means, but obviously it means a lot. It had a huge power in this country. And I think to have a president and a vice president who will not escalate conflicts in that very unkind way, I think is huge. It's going to set an example for all of us, actually. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And when Twitter cut them off, disinformation goes down 75%.
75! Right. Yeah. That was very shocking. That was perhaps the most important thing that came out of that decision was that information. So we're going to take another break. And when we come back, so where do we go from here? And maybe let's talk a little bit about how mindfulness is helping us get there. Okay. All right. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back after the break.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah! Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm.
Oh my goodness.
You struggle with fear and anxiety? You know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerator program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Choose the new earth on The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Searching, looking for a sign, a message you need to hear from the great unknown, from the most mysterious place that is the most familiar to your soul and the depths of who you are. The universe put someone here to talk to, someone God gave a blessing to that you may find insight with. TheAngelLady.net, 1-800-323-1790.
Tune in to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne Taylor King and Denise Stiegel, committed to guiding your journey through the world through mindfulness and personal care. These ladies are rebellious, real, funny, and powerful, helping you realize your full potential while navigating the twists and turns life always brings us. Tune in live every second and fourth Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truths, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
It is time to get real and wake up. Join Mike Murphy live Monday through Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get Real with Mike Murphy cuts through the noise of mainstream media, bringing you unfiltered truth and solutions. For more information on Mike and his work, visit his website at MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Don't you love that bippy music we listen to before and after the breaks and at the beginning and the end of the show? I just always like to say Craig wrote that, and I'm so grateful to you because it just makes me feel happy. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay. So if anybody's curious about your work on music, they could look at Salt Theory online.
On SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. Salt Theory on SoundCloud. Okay, great. We've been talking about debriefing the politics of our country in the last few months and just about our joy in watching the inauguration coverage yesterday, the moments that really were highlights for us. Craig, were there others that really stood out to you that you want to mention?
Well, I think Garth Brooks, right, who is taking a profound risk,
mm-hmm.
more so in different ways,
right,
than some of the others, and he's taken a lot of flack for participating
right.
in it as a country artist, but has stood up to that, and I respect that. Mm-hmm. But also Braden, in the evening part, the celebration mm-hmm. of America, there's a segment. Where folks are delivering moments from previous inaugurals.
Oh.
And Braden, the young man who had the difficulty with the stutter,
mm-hmm.
whom Biden befriends and helps,
right.
is the one who did the JFK address.
Oh, I missed
that. And he just went right through it smoothly. And I think, you know, given our background in communication mm-hmm. and also in forensics, public speaking competitions, you know how transformative it can be to have that kind of confidence. Yes. And I loved that he was in there, at least in part, because it demonstrated that Biden was making a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just using him for, right. you know, a photo op or the convention. This right. is a continued relationship with this young man, and it was very moving to me. You know, when I kind of put two and two together with the help of my friend Tim Miller, you know, that was who that had been.
Oh, and wow.
It was just really something.
There were so many places that resonated in that way. I mean, Amanda Gorman is another example. Mm-hmm. I saw her interviewed later on CNN with Anderson Cooper, and she too had a speech impediment.
Yeah.
There were, I think she said, maybe half a dozen letters that were very, very difficult for her to pronounce as recently as 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so that was and she was identified by Dr. Jill Biden. As and that's why the invitation went to her, because of Dr. Biden's hearing her recite one of her poems when she was the youth poet laureate, and that's an amazing thing. And it's funny that you mentioned Braden's participation, because it went back to other inaugural speeches. In her interview, she talked about how she prepared this particular poem, and it was through research of reading other inaugural poets' poems, of doing research into other speeches that have been made at inauguration. So I just really appreciate that level of care and, to me, attention to our country. Mm-hmm. Right. It is really bringing all of those threads of the best of who we can be into the foreground through these performances and recitations, etc. And that's just a glorious thing. It reminded me a little bit, and perhaps one of the best fireworks displays I've ever seen, especially from being seen it on television. But it had a very 4th of July quality, mm-hmm. I think, the whole thing, in terms of the celebratory nature of it. So I loved that. So where do we go from here? Is it all sunshine and roses now, once we get those insurrectionists in jail?
Well, that's an interesting way, you know, of putting it, because mm-hmm. I think, you know, one of the things I may well have friends who see this and mm-hmm. worry about me being too conciliatory.
Sure.
You know, but I would want to submit my own desire to see them in jail to the same critique as I ask people to think about when they want to put other people in jail. Mm-hmm. The whole jail idea is itself at least worthy of our reflection.
Yes.
Right? So I think even that Midler puts out a video where she's speaking to Trump and the legal problems coming to her, and she uses an expression that's something like, I can feel your anal sphincter start to fuck her. And that's not the word she uses. And that's a rape in prison joke.
Right.
And I don't think that's okay.
No, it's not.
You know, so I think at least one of the places that we go is thinking about what we want to happen to these folks mm-hmm. who we have accepted, I'll put it that way first, as being sort of in the role of this sort of absolute other,
mm-hmm.
Often because I think often quite rightly, just to be honest with you, that's where they have put us.
Right.
And trying to figure out what to do with that without being the patsy and not having boundaries and exposing ourselves to more violence and et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And without sacrificing our principles and undermining our critique of institutions by mm-hmm. appealing to them suddenly to punish mm-hmm. those people.
Right.
So I'm really genuinely working to parse that out. And I think that's part of what we do, that we have conversations with each other about mm-hmm. where we're drawing those lines and how we're feeling them bodily. I mean, I want to be so cautious, because I don't want to, excuse that behavior or shame people for saying, no, I'm not going to tolerate, you know, the Nazi in the dining room, you know,
right,
you know, in my family or whatever. And
right,
people get to say that, you know, mm-hmm, they get to live that. So I'm genuinely sort of speaking here to the place that I'm trying to work my, you know, my critical thinking, mm-hmm, and my political commitments.
Right.
And not violate the deconstructionist in me that
right,
is very concerned about accepting a binary opposition uncritically.
Right.
Us and
right,
patriot, mm-hmm, terrorist,
mm-hmm,
whatever those might be.
Right.
Those are always worthy of our suspicion and our care.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I thought it was powerful that people so quickly during the failed insurrection said almost immediately, my God, if these were brown and black people doing this, there would, it would just be an absolute massacre, literally a massacre. So that, that observation was out there so quickly seemed very important to me. At the same time, kind of responding to what you're saying, the legal system is filled with problems. The prison system is an industrial complex and does not rehabilitate anyone, if it can help it, it seems like, except in the very smallest kind of burgeoning programs that people are trying to put together to help people in prison. So if I certainly want people to be held accountable. I think that's what historians are telling us. We learned from the post-Civil War era that the lack of accountability just led to more and more concentration of problems and racism, et cetera. At the same time, it's still a prison industrial complex that needs to be reformed, no matter who's in those prisons.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's tough. It's very hard and not... Yeah, it's kind of whiplash, right? Okay, and of course, that's what someone who disagrees with me politically fears, is that now that people like me, supposedly, have more power, that all we're going to do is use it to punish and shame and vilify and demonize. And so, yes, how do we bring our mindfulness practice to bear in that moment to say, I can have compassion for you and still tell you that if you're on the side of the Nazis, as my friend Faith said, the people with the Nazis, that's never going to be my spot, right? I'm never going to be with you on that. Were you going to say something?
Just that, you know, that trying to be vigilant to that without mm-hmm. succumbing to relativism.
To what?
To relativism.
Relativism. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the work. I'm trying to figure out in relationship to my judgment,
mm-hmm.
where I am feeling attached to being right, where I'm feeling attached right. to a punitive intention, where I'm feeling attached mm-hmm. to, you know, whatever, as opposed to creating the conditions where this doesn't happen again.
Right.
And that's, you know, if I kind of get into my Bucky Fuller stuff there, continuing the business as usual may not be the best way to fix this.
And one of the ways of continuing business as usual is for those people that I think of as my opponents to be treated the way they treated me. That is, in fact, business as usual.
It is.
And it doesn't change anything. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take our last break. And then we're going to come back and wrap things up with Craig Gingrich Philbrook here on Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
When was the last time you had that feeling that you knew something, but you couldn't explain how you knew it? How powerful would it be for your life and business if you could consciously tap into that magic within you? What if you could remember that there's something supernatural about you? Tune in to Absolute Alignment with Christelle Biga when success feels easy every first and third Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
Hello, I'm Carrie Kadambi, and this is your Spirited Exchange Moment. Have you been searching everywhere for answers? Do you long for wise guidance to lovingly direct you? Guess what? You have your very own divine spirit guides in the highest light, available 24/7, just waiting to help you live your best life. Call in your spirit guidance on a daily basis to help you make important decisions. All you have to do is ask, with a sense of openness, curiosity, and willingness to be divinely guided. Throughout your day, be open to notice what shows up for you. A spoken phrase, a book, a message from a song, or simply a knowing. And always offer gratitude for that loving guidance, and don't forget to put it into action. Join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm here today talking, debriefing the election and the inauguration and the failed insurrection with my friend Craig Gingrich Philbrick, professor of performance studies at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. And so, Craig, what's important for you kind of going forward from this point as you think about either your mindfulness practice, reacting to the world around you, holding others accountable, some of the things we've been talking about? What do you think is really important that you want to share with people?
I think one of the things, I guess, that I would say is that it's okay not to know. And, you know, when I say that, I don't, you know, again, for me, relativism is the problem, right? As much as certainty, right? Mm-hmm. I'm really drawn to double bind theory. So those two things, it's all the same, and I know that that is not that, right? That somewhere between them is where we, you know, kind of have to live most of our lives if we're going to really be critical and cautious and I think remotely humane, mm-hmm. honestly. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, if folks feel it, that having a boundary and saying, you know, no, I'm not there. I'm not there.
Right.
I can't. I don't know how to forgive this.
Yeah.
You know, uncle who sent me all of the QAnon memes.
Right.
And you know, was, you know, a bad name to me.
Right.
You know, over and over again. That Bon Voyage, uncle, bad name.
Right.
You know, I think that that's okay. Mm-hmm. I do know that there are people that I cut out of my life when Trump was first elected, mm-hmm. whom I long for. Mm. And I'm thinking about them a lot, and I'm thinking about a lot of those decisions, mm-hmm. and sort of what they cost me, mm-hmm. and if in fact that impulse to cut them out of my life shot a communication channel down, mm-hmm. cut us out of relationship, was abject schismogenesis, mm-hmm. and potentially kept a gentler messages out of their life.
I think that in terms of our everyday life, that's that you've really talked about what's at the heart of it, of how do we allow ourselves to feel our feelings, to recognize that there are places where we are still angry or still hurt, and it might be with, you know, people in our relationships related to us, friends, coworkers. It might also be with the larger situation. I know you are someone who responds to his elected officials because they are often on the side that, because you often disagree with them and you're willing to tell them that. And I think for me, that's one of those great places to say, okay, you know, I've new in Washington, but I know who my legislators are, and I'm got their addresses, and I'm going to try to be clear with them about, you know, when they are not representing my beliefs, and I want, because they always stand up and say my constituents, and I always want to be able to say not this constituent if that's the case. Mm-hmm. But bringing kindness and gentleness to that so that they can hear me. Mm-hmm. I think that's really powerful, but you know, and you and I are different in this way. I think, you know, I'm not proud of this, but I think when a relationship to me feels that it costs me more than I have to give, I'm more willing to let it go than you are. And I don't, you know, whatever. So it's not a good thing or a bad thing. I just kind of think it's a difference between us. So when people are tormented mentally by relationships where they feel like they aren't heard, or that they are being given so much communication that is either demeaning to them or dismisses them or doesn't understand them, I'm a let it go kind of person.
And that's fine. You know,
I know.
There's a whole communication theory devoted to that, you know, social exchange theory. It's all devoted to this idea that our life force is limited.
Yes.
And we have to be careful about how we spend it.
Yes.
And if we continue to throw it down the rat hole of an abuser,
right,
that diminishes our life chances. And that's why I just feel so clear about that, right? Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes I can be, you know, I can let the relationship go. Mm-hmm. I can't let my relationship with my representative go.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, he's one of the ones who signed on to that overturn the vote.
Yeah.
And telling us to dial down the rhetoric. And yeah, I write back to him and say,
good,
you signed on to that rhetoric, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I am so ready to do everything I can in the next campaign to keep you from being reelected if you can't reflect on your own responsibility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it can feel so defeating to try to change the mind of someone who feels so immovable.
Right.
You know, but politicians are so often, you know, very motivated by this fear of votes. I mean, so much of the behavior that we're seeing,
mm-hmm.
we're told, is motivated by people thinking that that's the way they win this base that Trump has left behind.
Right.
Is to out-Trump Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
It's cynical, mercenary decision.
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, I think that's a really great point to sort of wrap this up on, is it's not, I don't know that you're trying to change his mind. I think you are informing him of what one of his constituents believes, and you are pointing out places where you feel he's being inconsistent. It may or may not change his mind or cause him to rethink his behavior, but you've put yourself out there to say, we differ here, and I want to make sure you understand that, because your job is to represent me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I try to bring that more into those personal spaces where there is difficulty too, to say, am I trying to change your mind, or am I trying to make sure that you understand how we differ on this issue?
Well, I'm also trying to deploy social exchange theory. I'm
right.
Get
right.
him to recognize
yeah, it's true. Right.
the cost of that position
yes.
is higher than he wants to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
and I think that that's, you know, that that's why, you know, that our wonderful local union did a lot of work with the state mm-hmm. union to get them to rescind their endorsement of him in the wake of this.
Right? Oh, wow.
And so that kind of action
yes.
with the deciders,
mm-hmm.
with the people with the votes,
yes.
to me is the place, like if I'm going to just keep throwing it at the wall, that's the wall. maybe not Uncle So-and-so.
Right.
A representative
so-and-so. But that wall. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Because
right.
They're the ones.
And I don't hear you demonizing him. I do hear you saying accountability matters and accountability to your constituents and knowing that you represented them incorrectly, or at least a whole bunch of them, the people in that union and others. And I really appreciate you saying we don't necessarily know. That is kind of a heart of mindfulness thing is it's going to unfold. And our job is to understand where we are in that process, to know ourselves, to ask those questions about where our mind is going, how we feel in our bodies, and respond as authentically as we can in those moments. Craig, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I feel like I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Always. Just with Ginsberg, put my shoulder to the wheel. What's my shoulder? What's the wheel? How am I going to put it? Right? And finding that, you know, the combination of those things
That's fantastic.
Is the way.
Thank you. Next week on the show, my guest is going to be Kate Leibfried. And Kate is a writing teacher, an editor, an author, and the founder of a company called Click Clack Writing. And we're going to talk about the potential for the healing power of writing, what writing can do to help us to bring mindfulness into our lives, how it is in itself a mindfulness practice. So until next week, I hope that you will be curious about your mind. I hope you'll be kind to yourself. And I hope you'll be able to join us on Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for being here today.
You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.